Charlotte Soccer Show. Good morning, Danny Brams. We're back for another episode. I'm John Hayes. Always a pleasure to be here with you, the Tifos, to talk about our beloved Charlotte FC, even after a 2-0 loss at Mile High. It was a Mile High mess on Saturday, Danny. It's 1 point out of 9 on the road for Charlotte FC. It's not a show where we're going to hand out a bunch of flowers. We're going to talk about what's wrong with this club on the road. But first and foremost, I just want to say hi to you, my friend Danny Brams. It's great to see you. How's your week going? What'd you do to watch the match? I'm curious. I was out of town. I was down in South Carolina. What'd you do on Saturday to watch the match? What was your initial takeaway when it was over?
Yeah, Johnny, I hope you were hitting them straight and long down on a nice golf trip to South Carolina. Always good time. Great to see you. Great to be here. Happy midweek as we get ready to go again. Nashville's coming to town and nothing's slowing down. But, yeah, an unfortunate setback in Colorado for sure. I was not loving the game because it was just not – it was one of those games where just Charlotte FC could never break through, and it was nothing – that they were doing particularly poorly. There was just nothing that they were doing particularly well. Just kind of a rough day at the office, and things were not clicking as like they have been at better times this season. But had a good time with our friend Justin. We met up at Dom's Dive Bar, the new spot, new concept opened up by a friend of the show, Matt Morena, who ran the Elizabeth Parlor Room for many years.
The bearded bartender.
The bearded bartender himself. Yeah, Matt's a great dude, and he's got a new bar called Dom's Dive Bar. It's at the old Bar Loso right there on South Boulevard next to Goldie's. Really good spot if I can pimp for them a little bit. Just good vibe, fun vibe, lots of good big screen TVs. Had not only the Charlotte FC match, but had the earlier Apple game up, sort of knowing the crowd. It's a place where Liverpool fans go a lot. The new spot has added a pool table and some dart boards and good food, and had a good old time. Justin and I had fun watching the match and talking and catching up. Hadn't seen him in a little while, so that was good. That was, you know, the community was good, but the game not so much. And yeah, we're find ourselves all of a sudden back, you know, almost to the middle of the pack in the playoff standings in the East, and wondering how good is this team really? Like, they, you know, they've looked so good at times, and they've been amongst the discussion for the best in MLS at times. And then other times they just go and you play one of a poor team in Colorado, and you turn up a pretty piss poor performance yourself.
Well, if we have any Batman fans out there, I think
who is it?
You get familiar. You are familiar with Two-Face, and. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, when you think about the Charlotte FC season to start, that's what this team is. And the reason why is because Charlotte FC, Danny, is very good on the road, but at home. But on the road, things are different. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea of why? And I'm asking you because you've been following MLS for a long time. You know this league inside and out. I've always heard the cliche, it feels like, to me anyway, MLS, it's one of the most difficult leagues in the world to win on the road. In MLS, it's so difficult to win on the road. Is that real, number one, or is it just a tired cliche? And number two, if it is real, why is it so difficult to win on the road in MLS?
I mean, I believe it is real. Last time I saw numbers was maybe 3 years ago, so it could have changed since then. But the most recent numbers I saw showed that there was a demonstrable point difference in road points in MLS compared to other leagues, to the tune of, if I remember right, you know, the MLS home field advantage was close, you know, approaching double that of some other big leagues. So I don't know exactly where those numbers are now, but I do know that they have been in the recent past a very real thing. The why is a lot harder to get to because you could chalk it up to distance. But as Dean Smith says, you know, you're taking luxury flights. A luxury flight, even the farthest road trip by plane, is actually much more luxe and relaxing compared to a long bus ride that you might take in an English away match. So, and they, you know, I don't think it's necessarily just the distance. I do think there's something to be said for the differing environments. You go to Colorado, it's a lot different than being in Carolina. You go to Cascadia, it's a lot different than being in Colorado. You go down to Houston, it's going to be different than all those other places. You go to Minnesota in the beginning or end of the season, it's going to be extremely cold. And, you know, so there's a wide varying range of environments that you play in. I think there's something to that. It's tough to quantify. And I also think just, you know, the home MLS fan dumbs do a really good job of turning their home stadiums into fortresses. It's something that we try to do here in Charlotte FC, as far as making a hostile environment for and tough for teams to come play here. That's what other teams are trying to do to us when we go to visit them. So that's what I really think it is. I'll give it up to the fans, and I think the fans are what make a home field advantage. And it, fans in MLS do a really good job. Tend to be the chip on our shoulder crowd in general, because we're used to like not getting respected on the American sports scene or on the international soccer scene. So we got the double chip on the shoulder, and I think that contributes to it a lot. I think it's highly recognized. That the one thing I don't understand is, if everyone recognizes that this is a big deal, why isn't there someone out there finding an exploit, finding the loophole to get around and work it and become, you know, a dominant force by winning on the road? I mean, I think that can happen naturally. But Charlotte FC folks recognize it. It's all that Dean talked about. It's all that Byrne talked about last week before the match. It's, and Westwood, you know, we got to win on the road. We got to win the road. The next step is winning on the road. We got to prove we can win on the road to truly be elite. So they recognize it. They haven't done it.
They'll have a chance to do it. Not this weekend. Nashville coming to the Queen City. So we're going to have to just kind of figure out first how to win at home again, and then go back on the road. I don't know what the schedule looks like past Nashville. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's a 1 week season every time, right?
That's exactly right. And I think that's important for this club right now, just especially if you're thinking about competing for the supporter shield, especially if you're thinking about winning trophies. It is one game at a time. And that's why this mile high mess is so disappointing. And before we get into the Jordy Mihailović show, if you will. Hopefully I said that right, Danny.
You know I will. You know I've always been a fan of Jordy, and I always wanted him on Charlotte FC. He was too expensive, I was told. So
I was thinking about you as I realized he scored a brace. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that brace, I wanted to, you know, importantly make the point that while it was a 2-0 loss, I thought Charlotte FC was pretty unlucky to score. And I think this is a good illustration as to why. This second half chance, before Colorado even got on the board by Patrick Ajimong, was maybe the second best chance of the match.
For Ajimong. Ajimong saved! Zach Steffen at full stretch, denying his U.S. men's national team teammate.
Certainly not as clean as they would have liked to have been. The ball initially on the far side didn't play it quick enough. Well done by Pepiel.
It was, Danny, this chance from Patrick Ajimong, you can see it here. He opens up on his right foot. Zach Steffen is in a decent position, not the best position. There's a lot of room to his left, Zach Steffen, and Patrick Ajimong, a beautiful strike, tries to curl it into that right post. And look at this unbelievable save by Zach Steffen, the former Manchester City man. Couldn't make it work in the Premier League, but that left-handed save potentially saves Colorado 3 points at home. Because if Patrick Ajimong scores that goal, you know, Charlotte FC does a really nice job of getting up a goal and taking 3 points. And this could have been the opportunity. That was the moment in this game, Danny. And that's why I wanted to make sure I brought that up first, is because you saw the scoreline. Mm-hmm. It was 0-0. And Charlotte had that opportunity to get the goal and couldn't get it done. So the unluckiness, I think, to me specifically, is a big part of this loss on the road. You got to figure out a way how to put those goals away, put those opportunities into the back of the net, but I'm not going to fault Patrick Aujmon there. I'm going to say Zach Steffen. Tip my cap. Well done. Nice save.
Well played, and goals do change games, and that game certainly would have changed everything with you know, 40 minutes to play there. I think Charlotte on the road could have definitely gone into a protect mode and done pretty well, because it's not like Colorado was threatening too much. They scored their goals kind of in fluky manners, we'll see. And, you know, they set up tough. They're tough to break down. I think that's another thing Dean mentioned is, you know, it's another situation where Charlotte has a tough time breaking down a low block. Teams know how to sort of just set up and get stuck in and dig in against Charlotte and force the Crown to break them down, and hasn't always come so well in a half court, full slow offense setting, a build-up situation. Charlotte's better chances this year have come off of counterattacks, and you know, that, as you could say, that's true for a lot of teams, but that's something Charlotte needs to get better at. And that Pat chance was actually a situation of a pretty well-worked play, and he was set up in the box, and it was sort of created off of build-up, and he put a nice curl. That thing was curling in. It was a really nice execution. It's not Pat's fault. That was a great save by Steffen, as you rightly point out. And it is a little unlucky, John. I hate to see it, because it could have changed. It could have created a three-point situation for Charlotte FC, which, again, they're on the verge of breaking through to the very top. And it's just it's frustrating to not get there when they're so close.
Absolutely. And you don't get closer than that. Right. Going up 1-0 on the road. Exactly. You just got to figure out a way to make it happen. But when you see a moment like that in the match, Danny, when you have a big chance and you're on the road and the keeper makes a great save, unfortunately, that typically means something like this is coming.
Now Colorado, Omer Fernandez for Mihailovic! Break through and find that opening tally. 1-0.
And we kept asking for more aggression out of the midfield. You get that with Omer Fernandez. And just as quickly as you isolate him in a one-on-one, how good he was in his decision-making. Out to the touchline. Nathan Byrne allows him to have that space, which is totally fine. Rafa Navajo holds both center backs. As he comes back across, that opens up more space in behind. And as you get the great ball in from Omer Fernandez, that's the spacing that we address with Georgi Mihailovic. He's drifted down underneath. A thorn against the two center backs. A drift underneath the midfield. Spacing perfect. Delivery on point. And the lead.
Danny, I just want to go back to one moment in here on this replay.
One shiny moment?
You can, well, that's coming up here on Sunday for sure, or Monday night, I should say. You got to get those TV ratings, right? The national championship game on a Monday night? You got to get those TV ratings, Danny. This is the moment where Doumbia is very central here. And it looks like the two center backs are bracketing the striker. And Mihailovic has the opportunity to come in behind and find a space. And I'm going to roll this forward here, Danny. What you're going to see is you're going to see nobody picks up the most dangerous man on the pitch at all. And Dean Smith is going to be looking at this moment and saying, "Whoa, what's going on here? Both center backs, you don't need a double team in this situation. You don't need a two for one as well. You let Mihailovic right on the PK spot, right? Look at this, Danny. Look how wide open he is on the PK spot. Like, that's
Fernandez is just passing to the spot. He barely even sees Mihailovic making that cut. And he's just, he knows to pass the ball to the spot, and a good attacker knows to get to that spot. That's why it's the spot.
And the reason why Doumbia isn't really committing to marking Mihailovic there is because you can see behind him, there's a ton of open space. His responsibility is wide. His responsibility isn't necessarily central. That's Adilson Milanda, and that's Tim Ream, who who make a mistake here. They've got to communicate. Remember, this partnership is something that we haven't seen very often with Malanda and Ream, with Andrew Privet being suspended on red card. So definitely a miscommunication here and an unfortunate miscommunication that gives Colorado a chance to, right here, one touch. Look at that right foot at one touch behind Kalina. If that's not a one-touch finish, I think Kalina gets the job done. But instead, it's a really, really strong finish. You use a one-touch with that right foot, and you can slot it into that bottom right corner. And Christian Kalina doesn't have enough time to get down to it. And you got to hand it to the Colorado fans. They're having a good time, Danny, out there on a Saturday.
A grand old time. Yeah, for sure. It's a great play. I mean, it sucks to concede it sucks to have a nice shot on target from Patrick that gets stopped by a great save. And it sucks to get beat by a 3-on-5 counterattack like that and have Omir Fernandez put a perfect pass onto a spot that Georgi Mihailovic gets to with good timing and puts a one-touch finish on it, you know, against his own body. I mean, the execution there by Colorado is just so nice. And it's not a spot where you think you're going to give up a goal. You, when you're watching that, you're like, okay, they're coming at us, but we got plenty of defense back. And you don't see a goal happening out of that too often. And yet it does, just because it's a really nice blind pass, finished really well by a guy who knows exactly how to do it. Georgi Mihailovic has played internationally. He's played in European leagues. He's left MLS and come back, and he's a DP for a reason. And he's a guy that, you know, Charlotte probably should have signed instead of Enzo Capetti, you know, in 2023, but it's not, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's years ago now. And he burned us. He burned us bad on that, and then he ended up burning us on the PK as well.
Here's Mihailovic moving it ahead. Navajo battling. Navajo goes down. It's a penalty. And a yellow card is out for Malanda. Stepping to the spot. Colorado have yet to score from the spot this year. Mihailovic and Kalina. It's 2-0 Rapids.
That was the opening 45. The vision starting to take off here from the substitutes.
It's a quick fire brace, and the match is essentially over at this point.
Yep.
I wanted to go back to the penalty call here, which I thought was super interesting, and I want to take this full screen if I can, just to, you know, make a point about this foul situation. Is that there's this rule in soccer that when a foul begins outside the box, Danny, it's not a PK. The foul begins there.
Right.
The foul begins outside the 18. In no way, shape, or form is this a PK because of that. There's already contact happening. Adilson Milan is all over him, and it's a clear foul that carries then inside the box, and the player goes down. That's how this move should have been officiated. But instead, the referee reaches for yellow, calls a penalty kick, and the game is essentially over. And I don't want to go back and make that point again, just to show people exactly what I mean here. It's because it's cut and dry. Mm-hmm. It's cut and dry. I don't need any other angles. The foul starts even happening, maybe even there.
Yeah.
Two steps away. The ball's not even in the box yet. Right. That's when the foul begins. Right. And let me ask you one question here, Danny. Where the fuck is the referee?
He's 70 yards behind the play. He must have some pretty good eyes to call a foul from there.
Hey, he is so far behind the play that he's not in a good position to make this call.
I agree.
And the foul continues into the box. It's certainly a yellow card, and it's not a PK.
I like the analysis. I mean, it's a rough scene from our guy Malanda, and it's a rough scene from our guy the referee, because that's not a PK in my book. And granted, who knows what happens if you rightly rule that a yellow and they have a dangerous free kick from just outside the box. But it's a lot harder to score that than a penalty. And if the match stays 1-0 there, then who knows what Charlotte might be able to claw back at the end. So, yeah, that's a big goal. And that happened, that, like you said, it was bang, bang. I think the goals were scored like 78th and 81st minute, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Well, here's my problem. Why hasn't it gone to VAR? Why isn't the video assistant review taking a look at that? I don't understand. The refereeing in MLS is putrid. I think that it's so difficult to win on the road sometimes because you're up against not only the away crowd, an opponent, but you're also up against a referee who is easily swayed in a lot of these matches. There was a moment early in the game, I couldn't find the highlight to this, and I'm sorry that I couldn't for our audience. There was a very, very similar type of action that happened earlier in the game where Patrick Agumon got dragged down in the box. To me, that looked like a very similar situation. Mm-hmm. And the referee didn't even call a foul in that situation. So I thought it was not only a poor decision by the referee to allow that foul to continue in the box and make the wrong decision, but also it was a total different call than he made early in the game against somebody else on Charlotte FC.
Just a total lack of consistency. Yeah.
A poor performance by the referees. And we talk on this show a lot, Danny, about Dean Smith and his comments about the referees.
Right.
And
a running bit.
How he can't ever, he really can't go 5 days without mentioning MLS referees.
He really can't.
It's been 3 days since Dean Smith talked about MLS referees. It's been 0 days since Charlotte Soccer Show talked about MLS referees. I think the referee played a huge, huge impact on this match. I'm not saying Charlotte FC would have gotten 3 points. I'm not saying Charlotte FC would have even gotten a point in this match. What I'm saying is I don't think the referee performed well in this match. And
I think that's completely fair.
I'll just leave it there.
That's all you need to say, because we're sure Dino will be commenting in soon. He didn't really have much to say. There was nothing really worth clipping as far as what he had to say about the refs for this match. But he did cite that Ajumong example that you just did, and he did say that, you know, it felt a little inconsistent. He felt like that was a penalty that should have been called on Patrick's behalf. So. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not,
it's definitely
I'm not,
a problem that's being seen.
I'm not talking about, Danny, a judgment call here, a subjective call, a PK inside the box. I'm talking about the letter of the law here.
Right.
And it's very simple. It's when a foul starts outside the box and carries into the box, that foul is a free kick outside the 18. It is not a awarded PK. And
That's just, those are just the rules.
Correct. This is not a subjective call about whether it's a foul inside the box. It's definitely a foul.
Yeah.
It just started outside the box. Therefore, it's not a PK. And sometimes I feel like, and I know Dean Smith does as well, that we get gaslit by these referees. It's so inconsistent. VAR is so mysterious.
Yeah, exactly. It's esoteric and mysterious. You know, it's like working at freaking Lumen Industries or something like that. You don't really understand why you're pushing the buttons that you're pushing, but you're told that they're important. Sometimes it feels like that's what the referees are operating under for sure.
So I think you made a couple really good points. And one was like, yes, it's a setback, but how big of a setback is this, Danny? Do you have the standings? Do you have the Eastern Conference playoff?
Yeah, I do have the standings. I want to get there. There's one other thing I do want to talk about also, though. And you tell, like, because we can get mad at that ref, and I am mad at that ref for sure. I think the ref kind of screwed up there. But I'm a little bit worried about the status of Adi Milonda. Are we seeing any type of regression? Milonda gives that penalty up there, obviously, and I'm just like, what is his form has been dipping? His form has dipped since the start of this season. I'm going to bring up a graphic because I think it's pretty noteworthy. he continues to get worse every game, essentially. And I'm not liking that. But are you worried about our young French center back at all? Do you think there's any type of pressure that he's putting himself under to be the guy who makes, you know, the big move or whatnot this upcoming offseason? Because he gave up that penalty there. He looked pretty frustrated. He had a pretty piss poor game against San Jose. And I finally got the graphic up. You can see, I mean, after the opening, scoring the first goal of the year, getting an 8.2 rating against Seattle, he continues to get worse, basically, as the season's gone on.
I don't know. I think you might get some criticism for this graphic in this segment because, I mean, you're looking at a player that's had four tremendous matches and had an off match in Charlotte FC 1-4-1 and then made a mistake and they lose 2-0 on the road. I mean, I'm not concerned. Not in the least bit. In fact, I that's honestly how I feel. You asked,
maybe
I answered.
Issue a correction, you know.
You asked, I answered.
That's what I'm here for the banter.
But I don't see any issue with Milan's play. Again, it wasn't a PK. He made a foul outside the box. In fact, you would have called it maybe a smart play. Start that foul outside the box.
Okay.
I'm not being disagreeable to be disagreeable or play devil's advocate. I just think there's other things that I'm more concerned about. And it's Charlotte FC's inability to do anything on offense on the road.
Okay.
That's what I'm more concerned about. Adios and Milanda, Tim Ream and Andrew Privet, throw them out there. I'll play every match with those three, two of those three. I don't care. I'm good there. I need to think about that. What I'm concerned about is Wilfred Zaha going to Colorado and not getting it done. What I'm concerned about is Liel Abada going to Colorado and not getting it done. What I'm concerned about is Patrick Agumon going to Colorado and not getting it done. Those are the players that need to help Charlotte FC win on the road. Adilson Milan is not the issue at all. And the attacking line needs to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, what are we doing wrong? What are we bringing energy on the road? That is, are we playing too conservative? What is happening on the road? And one other point I wanted to make about this match is you've got guys returning from international break and getting right into the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Agumon, Tim Ream, Liel Abada, three players that returned from international break that were injected into the squad. I think you could make the argument that they were a little leggy in this match.
Okay.
Especially Liel Abada. Total no-show. Yeah. Total no-show from Liel Abada. And I tell Dean Smith this to his face. Bad decision. Shouldn't have started.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting take. He maybe would have been fresher legs coming off the bench. You had guys like Vargas. You had Toklamadi coming off the big splash game against San Jose. Could have rewarded him with a start on the right wing for sure. In hindsight, it's an easy choice. Yeah, Liel Abada didn't get it done. Should not have started him. It's maybe a little tougher to make that choice before the match, but Dean thrives on making tough choices. So I think that's a worthwhile criticism or, you know, critique you can make even after the fact. Here is the table as we look. And as I said, Charlotte, you know, went from being like top two, top three, sort of like up there with the Miamis and Philadelphias to now being back down middle of the pack with, you know, the Chicagos and the Nashvilles and the Orlandos. So, you know, and they're facing one of those teams in the next home match. By the way, I did look up, it's three of the next four are at home. So
great.
Charlotte, you know, doesn't, you
that's
know,
good
home road, home. The road game is a trip to Montreal, who's bottom of the table and has just fired their coach. So you'd have to assume that's a
positive. You see him down there. There they are down there.
First win. Yeah.
Lost, draw. They're down there.
So if Charlotte can't go get at least a point and hopefully three in Montreal in a week and a half, then that's going to be a problem for sure. Obviously, Nashville's the more pressing concern as they come to town this week. But, yeah, the table looked a lot better last week than it does this week. And it's, you know, when you're in this – when you're fighting for the top and you lose, that's what's going to happen is you're going to drop down and you're going to say, wow, it doesn't look quite as good as it did before. So it's all to play for. And, you know, with the way it looks, you know, Charlotte can get right back into that top two or three in the East. They're certainly – not out of it by any stretch, but it just you want to be amongst the elite, not amongst the middle of the pack.
Right. And look where the next opponent is, right on that table as well. Nashville sitting there on 10 points. Massive match.
Yeah.
Massive match.
Run of results, you know, coming off a loss, then a win. You know, going win, loss in the last three. I mean, these are very parallel teams right now. And you know, Nashville not getting a ton so far this year from Hani Mukhtar, their designated player, their talisman. Similar to how Leah Labada is not really delivering DP results right now for Charlotte FC. You could even say Zaha's not. I mean, there's still, it's all love with Zaha. We're all still feeling the Zaha
big match for him on Saturday, Danny.
But it's a big match. Yeah, it's time to deliver at home. It's time to make turn a lot of these twinkle toe performances, and he's had some really nice dribbling exhibitions. It's time to really turn it into an explosive scoring performance, because this is a must win for Charlotte. If you think about it being a six
the two next matches are must wins, Danny.
Yeah,
that's how I see it. It's got to be 6 points out of six in the next two. And the reason why is because this team has already been brazen enough to say they're playing for a championship. Mm-hmm. This team has already suggested that they're trying to compete with the best in 2025, and you've got to keep the pace. 6 points in the next two. If you beat Nashville and you beat Montreal, and then you play your next two games at home after that, you've got a chance. You've got a real chance, Danny, to get 12.
Yeah, and those next two are against San Diego and New England. So San Diego, the new boys out, have actually been pretty impressive starting their life in Major League Soccer out in the Western Conference. They started really strong, and they've kind of slowed down a little bit over the last couple of weeks. But that's a beatable team flying all the way out here from San Diego. You'd have to think that should be a win. So then you're talking, is Charlotte looking at 9 from 9 and maybe even 12 from 12 if you look at New England down there struggling as well. But that's a month away. A lot can change in a month, so we're not really looking to New England. But I do agree with you that 6 of 6 is a must, and I think 12 of 12 is certainly a possibility as we project long term. But it's got to start with a win against Nashville. Got to win at home. Got to beat a rival. Got to beat a team that's not only a rival just from based on geography and based on the fact that our fans were kind of treated poorly in Nashville last year, left a lot of bad taste in people's mouths, but it's a rival just because of place on the table. Like we showed, like it's a rival. We're competing for the same spot. Nashville is a direct competition for Charlotte to be amongst the best in the East.
Get your flip flops ready. Put your bathing suits on, because it's going to be a balmy Saturday afternoon for this kickoff. It's a 2:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon at the Fortress. And right now the weather forecast is showing a potentially record high of 88 degrees here in the Queen City. And you know it's going to be hot uptown if it's going to be 88 degrees. So a balmy April Saturday awaits the Tifos, awaits us. 2:30 kick. I love this afternoon kick this weekend. I'm really excited for a Saturday afternoon of fun, Danny.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I know people have mixed feelings, but the fact that we've getting these early kickoffs, it was great having the early kickoff Saturday in Colorado. It was great to be sort of the standalone match in the middle of the day there. I was able to, like I said, go to Dom's Dive and have a good time, and then, you know, get on and do some other things with my night. And loved the opening home opener against Atlanta, early afternoon kickoff. And I'm going to love this kickoff, Johnny. I think we go big. I think, call me crazy, but I think we go big this weekend and see and let the chips fall where they may. I think it could be some good times. I'm going to be rocking and rolling at Hopfly pregame extravaganza. I don't know any other thing to do except go big, Johnny. There's been, you know, life has been dealing out all kinds of lemons and strikes and gutter balls, and the highs have been high and the lows have been low for me over the last recent little bit. But I got good people in my life like you and the Tifos, and I just think we get together on Saturday and just make some magic happen. I think this is also a game where the fans can really make a difference in this game. Like in a rivalry match, for all the reasons we've discussed, afternoon kickoff, fans getting a little liquid, getting a little slippery up there in the supporter section especially. I think this is the match where the fan base can really carry this team and lift up the squad hopefully to some greater heights and a big win, a famous win. And I can only imagine. I have not had a chance to post-party too much either. After I've been kind of after Charlotte matches, I have something, someplace I need to get to, or something to do, or it's late or whatnot. So this is the day where I have a wide open Saturday. We got a winnable rivalry match at home in the afternoon. It's going to be hot. We're going to be rocking the shorts and short sleeves. I might even go crazy. I might go buy the new black the Fortress kit because I'm just, you know, just to commemorate the day. I'm not even sure what's going to happen, Johnny. I think it could get a little nuts on Saturday. That's all I'm going to say.
It could. And I'm not even sure if the apartment pools are open yet, Danny. So, I mean, people won't have the opportunity to hang out and party at the apartment pools this weekend. So you might as well come to the Keep and just party there on Saturday afternoon. A little day party. Everybody loves the day party. And it's going to be that at the Keep. So I appreciate you, Danny. It's been great hanging out with you as always on the show. It's been a great time. Even though we're talking about a loss, had a fun time talking about it. And I hope the TFOs had a fun time hanging out today as well. Make sure you follow us on social. We're at For the Crown Baby on X, Charlotte Soccer City on Instagram, For the Crown Baby on Blue Sky. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You can find us anywhere. You can find us on YouTube, of course. You're watching us on YouTube right now. So do us a favor. Give us a like. Tell us why you love the show. Drop a comment. And Danny, it's all you this time. As always,
it's For the Crown Baby.